You're listening to Tea with Tolkien, a podcast for the Hobbit at heart. Pull up a cozy chair and join me as we chat about the works and Catholic faith of J.R.R. Tolkien, as well as how we can carry Middle-earth into our own daily lives. So I'm Caitlin, and I'm so happy that you're here today. I know that if you've listened to this podcast before, you've heard me mention Tolkien's letters. And today I wanted to dive into a specific letter, and that's number 213. So if you're wondering what, in terms of why do all these letters have numbers, it's because they have been compiled and published into this really lovely and insightful book called The Letters of J.R.R. Tolkien, edited by Humphrey Carpenter, and I'll link to it in the show notes. I highly, highly recommend it if you would like to learn more about the life of Tolkien from some primary sources, I suppose. So this letter was written to Deborah Webster in October of 1958. Just a little bit of background on Deborah. Deborah Webster Rogers wrote her doctoral dissertation on Tolkien and Lewis at the University of Wisconsin. And that dissertation is entitled The Fictitious Characters of C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien. And then she also wrote J.R.R. Tolkien, A Critical Biography. And this letter, which he wrote to her, was first published in her dissertation, but then they added it into the letters for us. It's a pretty short letter, so I thought we would just go through it together, one paragraph at a time. He begins with a response to what I'm assuming is her request for facts about himself, saying he's actually pretty opposed to this sort of thing. He writes, "I do not like giving facts about myself other than dry ones, which anyway are quite as relevant to my books as any other more juicy details. Not simply for personal reasons, but also because I object to the contemporary trend in criticism with its excessive interest in the details of the lives of authors and artists. They only distract attention from an author's works, if the works are in fact worthy of attention, and end, as one now often sees, in becoming the main interest. But only one's guardian angel, or indeed God himself, could unravel the real relationship between personal facts and an author's works. Not the author himself, though he knows more than any investigator, and certainly not so-called psychologists. But of course, there is a scale of significance in facts of this sort." So here he's beginning this letter basically saying, I don't really like to give facts about myself, and he's noticed that there's just this general modern trend. I've seen it even more nowadays. Just the way that people become obsessed with the personal lives of celebrities and authors, etc., to the point where they don't really pay too much attention to their actual work. And Tolkien himself was seeing that as a distraction even back in the day, I guess. So then he goes on to say there's a scale of significance in facts. He writes, "There are insignificant facts, those particularly dear to analysts and writers about writers, such as drunkenness, wife-beating, and such-like disorders. I do not happen to be guilty of these particular sins. But if I were, I should not suppose the artistic work proceeded from the weakness that produced them, but from other and still uncorrupted regions of my being. Modern researchers inform me that Beethoven cheated his publishers and abominably ill-treated his nephew, but I do not believe that has anything to do with his music. Then, there are more significant facts, which have some relation to an author's works, though knowledge of them does not really explain the works, even if examined at length. For instance, I dislike French and prefer Spanish to Italian, but the relation of these facts to my taste in languages, which is obviously a large ingredient in The Lord of the Rings, would take a long time to unravel and leave you liking or disliking the names and bits of language in my books, just as before." So here we are seeing a distinction being made by Tolkien between insignificant facts and significant ones as they relate to an author and understanding their works and influences and just everything that goes into it. And I think it's pretty important in light of the modern obsession over these insignificant facts, like I mentioned before. He then spends the rest of the letter just basically listing off what he sees are the significant facts about himself. He writes, "And there are a few basic facts which, however dryly expressed, are really significant. For instance, I was born in 1892 and lived for my early years in the Shire, in a pre-mechanical age. Or, more important, I am a Christian, which can be deduced from my stories, and in fact a Roman Catholic. The latter fact perhaps cannot be deduced, though one critic by letter asserted that the invocations to Elbereth and the character of Galadriel as directly described, or through the words of Gimli and Sam, were clearly related to Catholic devotion to Mary. Another saw in Waybread, Lembas equals Viaticum, and the reference to its feeding the will, and being more potent when fasting, a derivation from the Eucharist. That is, far greater things may color the mind in dealing with the lesser things of a fairy story." And this is one of my favorite lines from this letter, so I just wanted to read it again. "That is, far greater things may color the mind in dealing with the lesser things of a fairy story." I feel like this says a lot about the way that, especially his Catholicism that he had just mentioned, has influenced The Lord of the Rings and The Silmarillion and just his writing in general, because it seems like it's really shaped his life. If you just look through his letters or read a little bit about him, it just becomes so apparent the way that his life was so immersed in his faith, and he saw it as something so important and influential in his works. He then goes on to write, "I am in fact a hobbit, in all but size. I like gardens, trees, and unmechanized farmlands. I smoke a pipe, and like good plain food, unrefrigerated, but detest French cooking, and I like, and even dare to wear it in these dull days, ornamental waistcoats. I am fond of mushrooms out of a field, have a very simple sense of humor, which even my appreciative critics find tiresome. I go to bed late and get up late when possible. I do not travel much. I love Wales, what is left of it, when mines and even the more ghastly seaside reasons have done their worst, and especially the Welsh language. But I have not, in fact, been to Wales for a long time, except for crossing it on the way to Ireland. I go frequently to Ireland, being fond of it and of most of its people. But the Irish language I find wholly unattractive. I hope that is enough to go on with." And it's with that he ends the letter. So I would love to hear what your thoughts are about this letter. This is basically, I think it's a good place to start within Tolkien's letters, or if you're just beginning to learn a little bit more about him, because he's basically just rattling off facts and influences that he feels are more significant to know about when reading his works. One thing that also stands out to me within this letter is the order in which he chooses to list out these facts. He starts out with the most obviously significant one, which was, "I was born in 1892 and lived for my early years in the Shire in a pre-mechanical age." So he creates this really strong image of what his childhood was like. And then immediately he writes, "More important, I am a Christian, a Roman Catholic one at that." And then all of the little details he gives at the end of this letter are just so darling, I think. And it creates a really solid picture of what Tolkien was like and how he perceived himself and how he saw himself within his story that he wrote. I would love to hear your thoughts on this letter. Again, you can tweet me at TWithTolkien, send me an email at caitlin@twithtolkien.com or whatever. And I just also wanted to just say thank you for listening. I really appreciate you. You guys are the best. And I hope you're enjoying these episodes. If you have any ideas for what you'd like to hear on future episodes, send them right on over to me. And I just also wanted to take a quick minute to thank all of our patrons. You guys are the best, and I'm super appreciative that you think Tea with Tolkien is something worth supporting. And then before we say goodbye, I just wanted to remind you all that Tolkien Reading Day is on March 25th, so mark your calendars. I will have a special bonus episode to celebrate this day with you. If you don't know what Tolkien Reading Day is, it's a tradition begun by the Tolkien Society. I think it was in 2003, is when they started, and it's been going on since then. They encourage fans to take time every March 25th to read and share their favorite Tolkien passages, and just to celebrate the life and the works of J.R.R. Tolkien. I will have our special bonus episode in which I'll be sharing my favorite passages, and I would love to hear what yours are as well. I'll also be hosting a giveaway on Instagram, so be sure to follow us over there at Tea with Tolkien if you'd like to enter. It will be up on March 25th as well. And I'm also working on another surprise for you all, so it'll just be a pretty exciting week within the Tolkien community. I hope you all have a beautiful day today, and I will talk to you soon.